The rail is bent. Again, we're jeopardizing the safety specifications that the manufacturers put in there. How many times have we all heard that if a car has frame damage, it'll never be the same again? With poor repair, that is true. And it's true because the word repair is being misused. To repair is to put your vehicle back to pre-accident condition. A car that is safe to be on the road is a car that's been repaired. A car that can be aligned so it'll go down the road three-dimensionally in a straight direction is a car that's been repaired. Nobody wants to buy an unsafe car. Cars can be safely and properly repaired. A full-framed car can be made to drive straight. A unibody car can be made to drive straight. Cars can be repaired to drive. They can be repaired properly so that when they're hit again, they will collapse properly with the safety measures that the manufacturers engineered with them. A branded title would let the consumer make an informed decision. That's all I have.
I'd like to ask Pete a question. First of all, I'd like to say we really appreciate you coming down today. It's nice to have real people come and see us. This person who you bought the car from, does he regularly purchase cars from, say, an auto wholesaler or an auction and then repair them, or was this repair work done by somebody else and then he sold it? Do you know the circumstances behind it?
We're not that familiar with the circumstances. All I can tell you is hearsay, and we understand that he does work with a repairman. The guy repairs and he sells.
Okay, so it's a
I might add that the day that we went out to ask that man for our money back, and he told us that no, he wouldn't give us our money back, that it was sold as is, it was our problem. There was another car sitting in his driveway for his for sales with a for sale sign on it.
Thank you, Peter.
And we have the ad in the paper for that automobile.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Barnes.
Folks, I'd be interested. What would your reaction have been if you were just sitting down at the kitchen table and you were going to write out a check for the price of the car, and the seller brought out this title that says wreck total? I don't know exactly what they mean, if it's going to be a stamp across the title or what. What would you have done? Would you try to have bartered him down, or you'd have got up and walked out, or what would have been your reaction?
I don't know.
I wish I could give you a definite answer, Mr. Barnes. From what I understand now and from what we've learned from this experience, I would just fold up my checkbook and leave. I don't know what I would have done prior to this experience.
It's hard. That was not
I might add that I did ask the man if the car had ever been in a wreck. And he said it had a fender bender, and that he took and straightened it out, and because I noticed the little spot on the side, and I asked him about it, and he said, to his knowledge, the car had never been wrecked, and that they had a little fender bender in the parking lot, and he just took his hands and straightened it out. He said that's why I could see that little spot.
The reason why I asked that question, are we leading to a statement, public statement, that says once a car has been totaled, it loses its entire value? You know, I guess it's all in the minds of the beholder. But, you know, some cars, I guess, could be repaired. We've got some experts here, and others perhaps cannot. At least you wouldn't have an economic recovery on it. And I've just wondered, in your minds, would that would just kill the whole deal because you didn't want to mess with it, or would you, you know, be satisfied to say, well, it does have some economic value left in it after all, and I'll bring the price down accordingly.
That is, Mr. Barnes, that is a possibility, but the situation that we are in now, the little Honda that we bought for our granddaughter is sitting in storage and hasn't been driven since we found out the problems with it. And what am I to do with that car? In all good conscience, should I sell it to some other unsuspecting soul?
I appreciate your concern there.
Yeah. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Mike King.
The only thing I think is if you're going to regulate, might as well just say automatic brakes.
Madam Chair and members of the committee,
For the record, my name is Mike King, and I am president of the Oregon Auto Body Craftsman Association and owner of a family-owned business in Roseburg, Oregon, by the name of Mr. King's Body Shop. The eye-opening and painful experiences of the consumers you have just heard are just a few of the many horror stories we could bring before you. There are literally tens of thousands of accidents in Oregon each year, and thousands of those become total losses or total vehicles and are run through a system of purchase and resale through the insurance companies, or in the case of a private consumer, are sold to another consumer in some condition of wreck or disrepair. Those total vehicles regularly become the source of consumer anger and frustration with our industry. The committee has heard today the testimony of some of those consumers who have been ripped off because the current system of title branding that is not working. The title branding and licensing of collision repair facilities would give a 1-2 punch to the consumer fraud that permeates our industry. We have a very bad reputation. With your assistance in passing these two bills, we can take a significant step in correcting these grievous wrongs and protect the unsuspecting and unprotected consumers of Oregon. There were a couple of statements made earlier by Representative Walden regarding inspections. That was a very good point, and I appreciate your perceptiveness in that area. This bill and this concept originally included a reinspection after repair portion. If you will visualize, though, the process of reinspecting every vehicle that is in a collision and the entire infrastructure that would have to be created to physically run them through, and then the liability involved in certifying the safety of those repairs in areas that, obviously, in looking at this red car out front, you weren't able to tell. And there are many areas of the vehicle and unibody structure, such as under those rubber fascias, front and rear, that unless you dismantle the vehicle, take the fenders off the car, you can't see. And so the liability of that and the obstacles, as well as some of those spending restraints which we are faced with the passage of Measure 5, made it impractical to come before you and ask for assistance in getting something like that started, as well as we had enough dealing with these two bills at this point, but would welcome and encourage further consideration of that area. Our industry is very much interested in a reinspection program. Another area that was mentioned was the what would prevent a repairman from picking up his carpentry tools and moving over here and moving around away from a consumer that was trying to track them down for these bad repairs. Part of the title branding, first of all, would identify for the consumer a vehicle that has been improper in a accident and would allow them to determine if improper or proper repairs have been made by taking to someone as John or myself, a repair professional. In the licensing bill itself, there are provisions for proper zoning, bonding, which in and of itself would establish some credibility. If this person did it once, it's not likely that they would be able to come back in and reset up shop so easily without some fairly serious look at their credentials. There are many other aspects of this bill which, in my written draft that you have in front of you, I go through several of those, and I won't go into those at this point. Another area that was brought up was the reinspection program by the state police. I think Representative Barnes brought that up. They are very interested in that area for theft and theft identification of salvage parts or theft vehicles that have been stripped and put on other vehicles and those tags moved and or put on vehicles that were stolen. And we have spoken with them regarding this and have I'm sure tried to link up with them somehow, but in this particular aspect, we don't have an inspection program, and we were looking at interacting with them on the inspection end of this program. But I'm sure that they would be supportive and very interested in something like that. The value of the vehicle, I believe, you also brought that up, Representative Barnes, and the Attorney General, I think, has spoken somewhat to that in his proposed amendments to the bill, and I think has a very clear picture of the economics of that situation, which we struggle with, but which I think are very fair if you analyze his analysis of the situation that we face in total vehicles and the resale of those vehicles. And the damage economically is only to those who would attack the innocent consumers of our state. Other than that, and the risk that we run by not having a car insured, to where I might suffer some damage economically by having a vehicle that was in an accident and no insurance and then having to sell salvage. But certainly a second and third and fourth person would not be damaged similarly by that situation, which is the case currently. The 80% confusion of Mr. Brady's testimony earlier in the day also is cleared up in the Attorney General's suggestions, and we have a couple of suggestions in that area, and would welcome the opportunity to work with you to clarify that confusion. And I think we can do so quite handily. Are there any other questions which either I have brought to mind or are in the background of your mind regarding these two bills? Thank you very much.
Jim Doherty.
Thank you, Madam Chair and the committee members. My name is Jim Doherty. I own West Coast Auto Salvage Auction, where approximately 12,000 of these total losses are sold each year to licensed dealers and auto wreckers for parts or for rebuild. I agree with this bill in its entirety with several comments I want to make. In line 23, we talk about 30 days of the day that the vehicle became a total. We store approximately 2,200 cars on our lot, and the cars don't turn in 30 days. The car becomes a total loss immediately when it's hit. Sometimes if a bank is involved, the insurance company can't get the title. I would like to see a little leeway or change in the time frame of the notification of 30 days. The second point I want to make is you have in this a total vehicle by an insurer and a vehicle that has sustained damage that is not covered by an insurer. I think a total vehicle is a total vehicle, no matter who owns it. I'd like to see the same rule apply to one and all. I mentioned we sell approximately 12,000 cars a year, and the problems I've heard today are the consumers having trouble finding deep pockets to pay for these damages. I think in Oregon, approximately 80 to 90% of all wrecked cars are sold through three salvage pools. There's one in Eugene and two in Portland. I might suggest that we allow all cars to be sold through salvage pools, all wrecked cars, and we have the facility to keep records of who consigns that car to us, what company. I think also I have a problem with the definition of a total loss. There are some cars, and from prior hearings, I've supplied, I think, everyone here with a other definitions of total losses that are used throughout the United States. And it's a nationwide problem, not only here in Oregon. And our association is working on that nationwide. But there also, for the benefit of insurance companies, is a car that we define as a constructive total that is sold as salvage, but is really not a total loss. And I would like some consideration for that constructive total. I think if, to make someone responsible, if we sold those cars as constructive total losses with the proper paperwork, that an insurance company by doing that would assume the liability for problems down the line with that car. If it's bought by a licensed dealer and repaired, it should be repaired properly. If the rest of this bill goes through, it's going to be repaired by a licensed shop. That should eliminate the problem. Or if there is a problem, and what happens in numerous times, a buyer will buy the car, sell it to his buddy will sell it down the line, and it's sold three or four times. Finally, a consumer surfaces with a real problem. I think any time that would trace the car at least back to the insurance company. If they said the car's a rebuildable car, they're the ones that are responsible for it. It would be very easy to trace. I have no other comments. You have any questions?
Thank you very much. Pat Brady? John Altonen.
Madam Chairman and committee members, my name is John Altonen. I'm a present owner of a wrecking yard and a dealer in damaged cars. Also, I'm a prior owner of a body shop. My concern with the bill 2297 is under Section 2, under definition of a total vehicle. We had testimony from consumers here that have talked about their horror stories and the like, but I'm still interested in the consumer that has maybe not quite 80% damage, maybe the 70% damage. What happens to his car? What happened to him economically when he does go to try to trade that car in? Is he being treated fairly? We had testimony from a body shop that had one of the insurance companies would not allow them to repair the car the way they wanted to. What happened to that consumer? How is his car being treated? And the concern that that car wasn't repaired correctly, but yet wasn't a total, but isn't branded. That car is still on the road, isn't qualified as a total car, yet had structural damage, yet didn't make the qualifications of this bill. Also in Section 2, number 2, the car's recovered after 30 days. Say 60 days your car's recovered. Your title is branded. You recover your car back. We had testimony from the Attorney General saying that no car dealership would allow full value for that vehicle, up to $4,000. That consumer received his car back, wants to trade it in. His title's branded, that there was no physical damage to it. What happens to his economic impact to him and the safety factor? I think the bill is a good bill, except for the definition of how we define a damaged car. I would like to see it amended to say any structural damage. That would include any car that goes to a body shop, has any kind of structural repair, framework, quarter panel. You had testimony from body shop people saying that unibody is part of the frame, which it is. If any part of that unibody, a quarter panel, is replaced, it should be designated as branded. I don't think anybody here wants to have a car that's been damaged, been structurally altered without knowing. But this bill does not address that consumer that has that done to his car. That goes to trade it into the dealership. Yet his car isn't branded, but it has had the same structural damage. Being in the prior business of being an auto body repair, I had many cars that come in with $6,000, $7,000 worth of damage. economics determined whether that car was a total, not structural damage, not safety. None of that came into play. The dollar to the insurance company was the criteria. And I don't think that is what this bill is trying to help or prevent. It is branding a car that has substantial damage. I agree with that. And I sell 500 cars a year with that type of damage. Agree with that completely. But I think all cars should be treated equally so that all consumers reap or pay the cost across the line equally.
Representative Walden.
This issue of structural damage versus the insurance company, as you say, just looking for the bottom line, isn't the determination of cost made by the auto repair shop?
Not correct. I have
makes the estimate.
Anywhere from the insurance company to the body shop. I have a friend right now that has a Land Cruiser. His insurance estimate is $1,800. The body shop, a very prominent body shop in the Portland area, is $3,500. So there's almost a 100% deficiency there. So say if it was $5,000 by the insurance company, $10,000 by the body shop, where does that meet? I guess the definition isn't very clear. Yet, that consumer that would get that car later, does he have a $10,000 damage or does he have $5,000 damage? And I think every consumer, including yourselves and myself, would want to know that. But yet this bill doesn't address that consumer. The gentleman that went to the body shop in Beaverton that had to go on the jig, but the insurance company said, no, don't put it on the jig. In other words, the frame equipment. Mm-hmm. Yet it came back and it wasn't safe. That car isn't branded. And nor will it be branded under this definition of this law. Yet that car will still be on the road. And that consumer isn't protected. Or in the example of the theft car, 60 days I get my car back. It's branded. But nothing's happened to my car. Right. What happens now? I want to go trade that car in. The dealership's not going to give me full value for it any longer. And I'm stuck in between here because somebody's stolen my car. Yet I've lost 30%, whatever they've indicated is what they think the diminished value is. So my concern is definition, treating all cars equally, structural damage. They said even sheet metal is, you know, has to be correct. I agree with the part that it needs to be repaired correctly, but yet we haven't addressed where that ends. Where does that structural damage begin? Where does it end?
Representative Barnes?
Madam Chair, from your experience, what is the average length of time that it takes an insurance company to make a determination whether the car will be totaled or let you fix it up or whatever? Is it more than 30 days or is it compressed?
Are you talking about a car that is brought into a shop to have repaired?
Yes, I have a wreck, the car's towed in.
Less than 30 days, but the question would be to me would be if it's stolen, it's longer than 30 days. What happens then? At 30 days, I'm told to bring my title in to have it banished because it was stolen. But yet it doesn't address the car that doesn't quite meet the 80% criteria, the 70% criteria. A good example of that is I'm in the used car business. I can sell you a front end for $1,000. Economically, that's cheaper than the $2,500 it would cost you to get a new one. The structural damage is the same. The car is still has the same damage. The economics of it's different. It still hurt the same, but it's below the 70% or the 80% now versus new parts would have put it over that. So the car is still damaged the same. The consumer is still damaged, if you would say, to the same amount. It's just the economics decided it, and I don't think that's a fair or a correct criteria to determine that loss to that consumer. I agree that the customer or the consumer that bought that car that didn't know it was damaged, total loss. But say his bill would have been $7,000, yet had that damage, he'd still have the same car. He could still be driving around that same vehicle. But because it didn't meet that insurance company quota, it's not branded. Am I clear with what I'm saying?
Even though we brand some of these cars, are we still getting at the safety factor? Will there be people who will You want to sell a car for $3,000, it's been totaled, and they say, we'll give you $1,000.
That's going to happen.
Drive it out the driveway.
That's going to happen. I sell 500 cars a year that happen.
And we're still not taking these unsafe cars off the highway.
That's what it comes down to, and I sell that many cars a month or year, is that those people want a better buy. Economics come into play.
But it's just a never-happen-to-be type of error in terms
Pardon me?
Of wreck. And then they're applying this can never happen to be when it
Right.
comes to future wreck.
No.
Accident. One more question, Madam Chair. In applying a certain standard, 80% of what, do you have any ideas as to what the standard bearer should be? Should it be the Oregon Blue Book in terms of vehicles? Or any?
I don't agree with the 80%. I guess my concern is structural damage, whether I take it to the shop that tells me 1,000 and the shop that tells me 2,000, which one's right? They're both qualified, but yet they give me both two different prices. The structural damage of that car is not any different because of the value to repair it. It is still substantial, heavy damage. But yet one person is cheaper. It's like having a house built for $1 and another guy builds it for another amount. It's still the same house, but he's going to do it a different way. And that still doesn't address whose car is branded and who's not. If I take my car and have a heavy collision and my insurance company wants to repair it versus totaling it, whatever their mood may be or their bid might be for that day, that still doesn't change how that consumer is being protected because of that car. If he decides at that moment he doesn't want a damaged car, he sells it, he doesn't have a branded title. Yet he has a car that says substantial damage and he's not required by law to state it is. And that's what needs to be protected, everyone across the board, not just the ones that the insurance company has. The used part is a very good example of that. Used parts save a car that isn't totaled or won't be totaled, but new parts will. If they aren't able to find used parts that day, it's a total, but tomorrow if they find the parts, it's not a total. And so it still doesn't make that criteria, and I think that's the problem I have with the bill.
Thank you, John. John Powell?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Powell. I represent State Farm Insurance Companies and North Pacific Insurance Company. Chair, in reference to House Bill 2297, we just have two or three comments. We are not opposed to a branding law. We have a concern on page 2 of the bill in lines 7 through 15 where it puts us into the license plate business. And you have received amendments, I believe, from the Department of Motor Vehicles that gives us an option of us either destroying the license plates or delivering them to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Again, our concern is simply the process in which to handle a volume of license plates and what we do with them and how they would be destroyed and what process you would use. So we would not want to be in the process of us taking possession of the plates and being responsible for destroying them. And I'm sure Department of Motor Vehicles at some point would get tired of receiving them if we ship them to them. I think that area deserves some attention and concern. And secondly, on lines 26 and 27 of page 2 of the bill, it adds a penalty for an insurer who violates Section 4 of the Act to be a violation of a provision of the insurance code without specifying what provision of the insurance code. And it is already in Section 4 of the Act a Class A misdemeanor for having violated it. Through other cross-referencing, it is a violation of the RICO standards, and now adding this third provision and not being specific as to what provision of the insurance code. So we'd question that. So with that, Madam Chair, I think that would conclude our testimony.
Do you have any questions for John?
Madam Chair.
Representative Walden.
Mr. Powell, what happens to license plates now? What's the procedure when a car is totaled? Do they go to the owner of the car? Do you know?
Mr. Chair, I'm Madam Chair, Representative Walden. I assume they go with a vehicle to whoever purchased it at salvage. And they would take care of plates. There was one other comment. Mr. Wood had delivered some amendments to you as well on the definition of total vehicle. And it's on the second side of his testimony at the very top of the page where his language states, whenever an insurer takes possession of a motor vehicle, title to a motor vehicle, fails to repair a motor vehicle. Failure to repair may be a serious problem in that the vehicle, the owner may choose to take a cash settlement and not repair the automobile. And in those cases, it might be some very minor dent in the car. So I think that definition has some problems, and